The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
In his playing days, he was known as the Igniter. Now, he's here to kickstart your Sunday Twins fix. It's the Paul Molitor Show.
You know, he's been hit a mistake a long way. It's fun to watch. There's not a lot of guys who can close on balls like that. It was quite a play. Just a dominant start for him.
The Paul Molitor Show is sponsored by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. It's how memories are created and legends are made. Now, here are the hosts of the Paul Molitor Show, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, good morning. A little gray and cloudy here in the Twin Cities today. Expecting some rain later on. Team is in Kansas City where hopefully the weather will clear long enough for game two at least of this was supposed to be three-game series to commence later this afternoon. Phil Hughes and Jason Hamill. Jack Morris here in studio. Paul Molitor in Kansas City. And I guess, Paul, good morning to you first and foremost. And second of all, you've been less manager and more weatherman the last couple of days.
Hey, good morning to you guys. Yeah, we had a long, rainy day here in Kansas City yesterday. I went out looking for animals two by two and then started building the ark. It was some kind of deluge yesterday. But, you know, today is a little wet this morning. We're optimistic we might get a little bit of a window here this afternoon, and hopefully we'll get a chance to play some baseball.
Paul, it seemed like some of your guys are starting to heat up offensively. Phil Hughes coming off a pretty good outing. What does the weather do to a veteran player like Phil? I'm sure you're going to let us know that not a whole lot.
It shouldn't. You know, I think, Jack, you know, your time as a player and myself, the weather, it dampens kind of, you know, the atmosphere. It's very gray and overcast and still very wet, but you got to prepare to play. You know, if some point along the way they says it's a no-go, then you turn the switch off. But it's a lot harder to turn it on thinking you might not play. So you prepare like you're going to go out there and compete today.
Yeah, Paul, I want to go back to the Friday game because we didn't have a chance yesterday to revisit with the rainout and the early call from Kansas City. Your team is playing right now with some confidence and has a sense, as Danny and I were talking after the game, that, you know, even if you're behind late, it really doesn't matter who's on the mound. If you can just get the big guy into the batter's box, you've got yourself more than a puncher's chance.
Well, he's been a big part of the, you know, the wins that we've been able to put together, and even some of the games where we've come up a little bit short. He's taken good at bats, you know, each and every day, and the other day getting a couple big hits to produce four runs for us. But you know, we've a handful of the games that we lost. You know, we had opportunities in the eighth or ninth inning, and we came up a hit short to either extend the game or possibly take leads. And, you know, we all know in today's game with the back ends of other teams' bullpens, it's tough to make those comebacks, but to finally have what happened the other day was a lift for our team for sure.
Paul, when you design a baseball team and you take a pencil and put it to paper, you always put a very powerful hitter in the third or fourth spot, a guy that can clean up some people on the base pass, and that's what we're seeing now. It's got to be a whole lot more enjoyable, not only to manage this team, to just watch as they steadily, I think, grow in their confidence and their ability to have quality at-bats.
I think, you know, Jack, we're just barely over 20 games into the season, and, you know, I think we're a little ways away from potentially trying to describe our identity and all those type of things, but, mm-hmm. You know, you look for positives to build upon. Some of our young guys seem to be handling the early season a little bit better than last year, and certainly winning a few games has helped. We all would like to see that pace increase, hopefully, as we go forward. But, yeah, you know, whether it's Kepler or Sano, you know, Polanco taking good at bats each and every day. We've seen Buxton make a little bit of resurgence here over the last four games. And then you complement it with some of your guys with a little more experience, like, you know, Castro and Joe and Dozier. And you hope that the mix starts to find a way to gel together. You know, when your lineup's clicking from top to bottom and you feel like each and every inning you have a chance to get something going, it makes it a lot better for your club to compete offensively.
I have to go take you back a few years when you were a player, because I'm curious to your take on this. There was a time as a player that you could look at a lineup that you were in hitting leadoff, and there would be a guy named Higuera or Vukovic on the mound, and you're pretty confident that they were going to go eight or nine innings. As a manager, you're pretty confident now that you're going to have to use the bullpen at some point almost in every single game unless Irvin throws a one-hit shutout. What does that do to you as a manager? And, you know, I know we're living in that generation now, but
sure.
How much fun would it be for you to know that a couple guys in your rotation could go deep?
Well, the evolvement of the game has certainly made it more bullpen dependent, and you know, just the lack of complete games across the league, and really, you know, when a guy goes seven innings these days, it's more the exception than the rule. So you know, you look for those days, and you look for guys who can do that. Not only does it help, you know, spare your bullpen throughout the course of the year, but it's just a nice luxury for a manager. So, but you know, you have to understand that it's just not the way it is the majority of the time, and you try to, you know, shape your game plan to find a way to protect leads or give yourself a chance late. You know, we've actually done fairly well with our innings from our starters. We had a little bit of a hiccup there for, you know, a handful of games, but, hopefully, you know, starting with Phil today, we can find ways to get deep in the bullpen with our starters and have a chance to win.
We'll talk more about that with Paul Molitor, Jack Morris, when we return. Take a break here on the Paul Molitor Show, brought to you by Killabrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota, how memories are created and legends are made. This is your home for Twins baseball.
This is Paul Molitor. You're listening to the Alternative Channel at 96.3, your home for Twins baseball.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Chris Atterbury welcoming you back to the Paul Molitor Show Sunday morning here from our network headquarters at Target Field. Jack Morris is here. He and I sipping on some coffee. Paul Molitor in Kansas City, hoping the weather allows us to play and give the Twins a chance to win today against the Royals, make it five straight against Kansas City. You know, Kyle Gibson threw on Friday, Paul, and you mentioned the weather. We had off day, rain out. You've got an off day Monday. You're riding this four-man rotation. You've got an extra bullpen guy anyway with Hector on the bereavement leave. So you got a lot of arms. The question is the arm that threw Friday, Kyle Gibson. What were you looking for, and did you see enough to give you the confidence that Kyle's heading in the right direction?
You know, we all feel that it was a tick better than some of the things that we had seen through the first four starts, I believe. You know, I thought he maintained his composure a little bit better when things got rough, as far as, you know, either walk or base hits or some of the things that happened. You know, he on the home run that Perez hit, he just got one out over the plate and he didn't miss it. But, you know, he got fairly deep into the game, and you know, we got the first out there in the sixth inning and decided to go ahead and turn it over to the bullpen the best that we could. So you know, he's slated to come back and pitch again, I think, the last game of the Oakland series. So hopefully that there will be continued improvement. I still think that some of the first pitch strike issues and some of those other things were a little bit inconsistent that we feel is important for him to have the best chance, and I think he's very aware of that. So we'll just keep pushing him, work hard in between starts, and hopefully get ready for his next start come Thursday.
Paul, Mejia goes down to Rochester and pitches a solid seven innings. We've seen Barrios down there. It seems like he's, you know, Cy Young when he pitches in AAA. What do those guys have to do at that level to impress everybody here that makes decisions to bring them back up and give them a chance?
Well, everybody sees the numbers, and I just don't think you can, you know, lean on those too heavily. It's more the conversations that we have of what it actually looks like in person. You know, you can see whether there's the command that's necessary to be effective up here. I'm glad those guys are doing well. A lot of us feel that, you know, Jose needs to continue to put together starts that are consistent with command and location in all of his pitches. And, you know, for Adalberto to go down there and have a good start, we're all very pleased about that. It sounds like, from what I've heard, that, you know, he was back in the zone. He didn't overthrow as much. He used his off-speed pitches well, and he had an outstanding outing. So it's one of those things for him. Most likely we're going to want to see him string a few more of those together, and then we'll reconsider where we're at. We have been fortunate with the off days and such to not have to, you know, rush a fifth starter back in there. We're going to probably have to face that question if weather holds up. I think May 6th is the date, and you know, we're continuing to toss around ideas, and we'll gather information as we get closer to having to do something there.
Paul, I think our rating spike every time you roll the R there and pronounce Alberto's first name. That was, I think we got a big hit there. Hey, you haven't had to break the glass on Nick Tepish yet. He's kind of been in the emergency case. Is he in witness protection? It's been about, 10 days since he's thrown. And I know that's the good news and the bad news, because you didn't have to use him, but you know, you'd like to give him some work.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very aware that he hasn't pitched yet. it's one of those things where we haven't, you know, the games just haven't created an opportunity, you know, with him being stretched out and, you know, having thrown, you know, I think his last outing, which is probably almost 10 days ago, you know, 95 pitches, and the days keep going by. And it's just one of those things where you can't really force when it will be. Now, he's obviously a candidate to get a start here somewhere along the way, and we'll see whether we have to use him probably for some length, whether it would be today or possibly Tuesday, and see if he's in the mix for a start down the road. But, yeah, you know, you feel for those guys. He comes up, and he's back in the big leagues, and so far during his stint here, he has had a chance to get on the bump. But, yeah, his time will come.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing you haven't had to use him, because it means your starters are doing what you want them to do. We'll take a break, come back. More from Paul Molitor when we return on your home for Twins baseball. This is Chris Atterbury, and you're listening to the Paul Molitor Show on Go 96.3.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. Jack Morris, Chris Atterbury here in studio. Paul in Kansas City. Paul, you got a little indication of what our lineup's going to look like today?
Yeah, you know, with the off days and the rainouts, you know, it's made it a little tougher to try to incorporate some of our bench. But the one change that I made today differentiates it from the other night is that I'm going to give Vargas a chance to DH today and take Robbie out. And, you know, he'll be just moving right into the slot that Robbie had the other day, which was the five hole. And everything else is going to be the same. And we got Phil Hughes, obviously starting today. So, you know, we'll give that lineup a shot and see if they can go ahead and produce and give us another chance to win.
Paul, on the Sano appeal of the suspension, is that a deal where you're just going to suddenly get a notification that, hey, he can't play today? Is that kind of a last minute sort of thing? Or will there be any timeline that you'll be able to prepare for?
You know, I'm going to plead a little bit of ignorance there in that the whole process of MLB and how they go about setting their dates of when, you know, the appearance will take place as far as the decision they're going to make. Normally, I think it's within a 10-day period where you get some kind of finality to those type of questions. As of yet, I haven't heard. I'll probably be in communication with either Derek or Thad this morning and see if there's any updates. Most likely nothing over the weekend, and good chance we'll find something out early on this week.
As for Kenny Vargas, we saw him scrape one over the wall and pick up some hits, also pick up a few walks through his first week back in the big leagues. What have you seen from Kenny, and is he heading the right direction for you in terms of the hitter that he needs to be to help your lineup?
Well, we all hope so. I think there's a lot of people that would like to see him get more consistent at bats. I think Robbie's done a really good job, and still trying to find as many at bats for him as I can. I think Kenny down in Texas kind of did what we thought as far as the reports and how he was swinging, showing a fair amount of patience, taking his walks and things like that. Hasn't had a ton of chances to hit right-handed this year, just given the matchups that they've had. I think he's probably somewhere only about 15 at bats combined with what he had in Texas. So. But, yeah, you know, he's obviously a threat, and it was good to see him get that first home run for us in the game down in Texas and take some good at-bats and hit the ball sharply a couple of the times. So, it's nice that I can mix and match. It's one thing about Kenny that he provides that we didn't have early in the year when he's not in the lineup. You got a power bat off the bench if you need a home run potentially later, a big hit. So, today he's going to get a chance to face Hamill, and hopefully Kenny keeps swinging the bat well.
Paul, we talked about Nick Tepish, the fact that he hasn't really seen a lot of work yet. You talked a little bit about Jose Berríos and Alberto Mejia. We kind of resigned to the fact that Tyler Duffy is going to be in the bullpen for at least the extended future.
You know, Jack, we talk about, you know, the fact that we needed, you know, potentially a starter here upcoming here in the fairly near future. And, you know, you look for ways to maybe put his name in that conversation and find ways to get him extended a little bit, but it would be really challenging to do that given the fact that he's played an important role down there from the right-handed side coming out of the bullpen. So, you know, we talked about in spring that there's somewhere along the way we might have to shift in that direction, but right now it sets up where I think that he's a positive for us in the role that he is filling, and most likely will stay in that role here at least in the near term.
Hey, speaking of bullpens, did you ever think in the last couple of years you'd find yourself facing a Royals team and saying, man, if we can just get to the bullpen, we'll be okay, because they've got the best starter ERA in the game. They've got a struggling bullpen ERA. You haven't even seen their very good closer yet. It's a whole different world than what we've seen the last couple of years.
Well, they've had to change, you know, some of these windows for different teams. They close up kind of quickly in terms of, you know, what might be a sequence that's working for them. We all know that, you know, the bullpen they had during their couple of World Series runs was just phenomenal, and they kind of created a new model for other teams to try to copy. You know, but they've lost a few people. They've traded a few people. They still have some guys that are really talented out there. You know, they have four lefties out there, and, you know, you got veterans and guys like Young and Soria and then Herrera at the back end. But they're, you know, when you change your bullpen out, it takes a while to kind of sort out how you want to use them and set people up. We're kind of going through some of those same things, but it's definitely a different look. And, you know, so far in the games we've played them, their bullpen has allowed us some opportunities with some command issues and different things like that. But, yeah, you know, I'm sure Ned over there on the other side is trying to figure out the best way to use his bullpen staff as well.
I'm curious your take on this. It seems like one or two losses in a row, and any team in the Central Division can be in first or last place. Did you ever think that they'd all be bunched up like this after a month of baseball?
You know, I'm not overly surprised. You know, I think early in the year it is, you know, it gets so much attention how teams come out of the gate and who's supposed to be good and who's supposed to be not so good. And you know, it's just sometimes it's tough for teams to separate early. A lot of clubs hovering around that 500 mark, not only in our division, but around the game. So, you know, you just try to hold your own. It'd be great if we were in a little bit better position, obviously, after 22 games. But, yeah, you know, we've seen that, you know, Cleveland's good, and Detroit certainly is a power veteran lineup with some outstanding starting pitching. And Chicago's a little bit of a different-looking team, but they play with a lot of confidence right now. A little bit surprising that Kansas City's gotten off to the start that they have, but, you know, that's okay, too, because we're playing them a lot here early. So we'll see how it plays out. Things change a lot throughout the course of the season, as you well know. So.
Yeah, you guys have had a little bit to do with what Kansas City's doing also through four games. We'll take a break. Come back. One final segment. Find out what you do in Kansas City on a rainy day when we return on your home for Twins baseball.
Hey, we're Ben, Dana, and Giselle. You're listening to the Alternative Channel at 96.3.
Your home for Twins baseball.
Welcome back to the Paul Mahler Show, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. How memories are created, legends are made. We'll make some more radio memories later today. Just afternoon, Derek Falvey joins Corey Provis to handle what Danny calls those puffball questions Corey asks. That's inside Twins. And then we'll have the pregame lineup card. And then baseball, Phil Hughes, Jason Hamill. Well, Paul, you guys go to Kansas City. You come off a good series in Texas. You had one planned off day. That was Thursday. And then the unplanned off day where you counted animals and built an ark. What does one do with all that spare time in Kansas City?
To be honest with you, yesterday was just kind of one of those long days, and didn't get out of the hotel much. I was getting set to come out to the ballpark when we got word about the cancellation. Spent some time with our pitching coach, Neil Allen, and kind of worked through how we wanted to proceed forward. Checked in with our head office people and then kind of filled the day. I watched a lot of baseball, including the Cubs and the Red Sox, and a little bit of the Texas game last night with the Angels. Watched a little bit of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions last night. And did some work and kind of start working ahead on Oakland a little bit as they come into town on Tuesday. But kind of a quiet day. I think some guys ventured out, but it was a day that just hanging out and taking advantage of the downtime was pretty good.
Paul, I know you physically take care of yourself pretty darn good, but I have to let you know that two postseasons back-to-back where the Royals are in the World Series, I spent plenty of time in Kansas City, and I got burnt out on barbecue. You a barbecue guy down there, or you just eat whatever healthy food
well,
you're supposed to?
You know, Jack, the food in different cities and things that you have in the clubhouse, there's no question that having Texas and Kansas City back-to-back, we're going to have our fill of barbecue, believe me. So it's always a nice little, you know, treat to go in that direction, but, you know, after a while, it gets a little hard to look at.
Amen.
Hey, you know, yeah. you got one more on the road trip. You guys have played good baseball on the road. I know the homestand was disappointing. Phil, in particular, has pitched very well on the road. Is there anything to that, or just the way the games have fallen?
I don't put too much into that early. You know, I the one thing that if we're going to go out and hopefully have a competitive season, that we will need to play well at home. I'm glad that we've competed on the road. We've had a couple of decent trips to this point, regardless of the outcome of today's game. But yeah, you want to have confidence playing in your own home park, and we didn't have the best of home stands, which included three of our opponents from our division. So, you know, hopefully that's something that will improve as we move forward throughout the summer.
All right. Well, hopefully the weather allows that to happen here today. Appreciate everything, and you can go change out of your galoshes and get on your baseball spikes.
Yeah, you know, I know this is heading up that way, but hopefully come Tuesday we start getting some better weather and we'll have a nice home stand back there at Target Field.
By July, Paul. I promise you, by July.
We'll bring you barbecue.
Yeah, there you go. You guys have a good day.
All right, Paul. That's Paul Mahler joining us from Kansas City, and again, it does look like we'll get baseball in today. Jack, we got about a minute. The Twins, again, 11-11. You could hear Paul. He was making this claim repeatedly. Not as good as we want to be. Felt there's been some games that slipped away. That being said, still chance to have a winning month. They've already got a winning road trip. And those are no small things when you're trying to make steps forward from a horrific loss season a year ago.
You know, it's amazing that I notice one similarity. When the starting pitcher pitches a fairly good game,
no,
they have a chance to win.
What?
It's amazing.
You should bottle that.
Yeah,
have
I know.
Have you told anybody about
that? They should maybe take a good hard look at that when they start drafting guys.
All right. For Jack Morris and Paul Molitor, this has been another edition of the Paul Molitor Show. A reminder, just after noon today, it'll be Inside Twins, Corey Provis and Derek Falvey, and I'm sure Danny will be chirping and Corey's here the entire time. We'll have our pregame lineup card here for old friend Drew Butera, as well as a minor league update on who's left healthy in the minor league system, all of that plus baseball. Coming up between the Twins and the Royals, Twins try to go 5-0 against KC this year. It's all straight ahead on your home for Twins baseball.
You have been listening to the Paul Molitor Show, sponsored by Killebrew Root Beer, made in Minnesota. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.